Today, we're having a college application bonanza, and I wanted to say thank you to everybody for coming. I am hopefully going to be able to send this as a recording to everybody. You'll be able to look at the slides at your leisure. For right now, though, make sure you have paper and pencil and you're writing down the information as I give it to you, because I'm really hoping that this will be like the spurs to get you started on your way toward your college applications. At the end of this webinar, we are going to have a special offer. Please stay for the whole webinar. 90% of this information is going to be things that you need to know about homeschool records and application essays and all of that stuff, and just a short period on the sale. But I wanted to make sure that we had a special offer for the Gold Care Club for the people who need extra information. And I will spend lots of time answering questions at the end of this presentation, so you will get your answers today. Now, the Gold Care Club is complete and convenient high school support with training and templates and resources and tools and everything you need to make your homeschooling high school easier. It does come with personal coaching and mentoring so that you can talk to me by phone or by email so we can address your specific questions, because sometimes things are more personal and you need that special time. So here's what you can expect. In this webinar, you're going to learn about the key elements of completing your college application in record time. I'm going to go over how to find a college. This is going to be especially helpful if you have a 9th, 10th, or 11th grader. And then we'll go over how to apply for college, how to prepare your homeschool records, and how to write application essays. That's going to be particularly helpful for juniors and seniors in high school. So, is this what you have come to learn today? I would love for you to just chime in and say, yep, this is it. Because if you were hoping to get information about big scholarships or transcripts, that is not today. Today, it's all about that application. So, everybody's saying yes. I have to say a quick hi to look at that. That's just crazy. Everybody's saying hi. Christine McGowan, got to say hi to you. Because you're my buddy. So thanks everybody for being here. We all are on the same page, okay? So let me just explain why it is we're doing what we're doing, okay? This is the time of year when I'm hearing back from people that have gotten great scholarships. So many people come back afterwards with the Gold Care Club and they say it's been extremely helpful. And it's not just me getting scholarships, but it's others as well. Allison on Facebook was sharing that she'd been a Gold Care member for years, and she was so thankful for the phone calls and the help. And she just wanted to touch base with me and say that her children are doing well. Joanna is finishing up her double major. She got fantastic scholarships, and now they're looking at graduate school, and so she was very happy. And so I want that to be your story as well. Okay, so that's one of the reasons why we're listening tonight. Now, just so you know, you can find me on social media, and I do have freebies that are available. If you go to my website, look for the freebies tab on the top. You can also like me on Facebook. I share lots of free classes, helpful tips on Facebook. You can find me on Pinterest. That's where I store all of my articles so that you can easily find them. You can follow me on Twitter. As I use my articles to help my Gold Care members, I will tweet those articles on a regular basis throughout the week, figuring if my Gold Care members need it, it's probably timely and somebody else can need it as well. And then you can join me on Google+. I am slowly learning how to be on Google+. And then I do have daily encouragement on my blog as well. For right now, I just want you to relax, take a sip of your coffee or tea. Take a deep breath in and out, okay? I am a mother of two. I homeschooled my two children independently for 8 years through high school graduation. I gave my children mommy-made grades and credits and a homemade transcript. We had eclectic course descriptions, and my children were given full tuition scholarships to their first choice university. I am not the only one this has happened to. I don't want you to feel like I got these just because my children were smart. A lot of it has to do with that planning, preparation, and learning about how to homeschool high school. And that's why I think it's important for you to take this class today. Now, just recently, I got this letter from Lori in New Hampshire, and she wanted to say her daughter was accepted to all six schools to which she had applied, plus an additional one. One of them was a 4-year full tuition scholarship. Now, so you can read every wonderful thing that she said, but here's my point of this slide. She wrote me this, I've been accepted full tuition scholarships in October. And the reason why she got those scholarships in October was because she applied first thing in October. Okay, so a lot of what I am stressing today is that you need to get your applications done as early as possible in senior year so that you too can be writing me in October, already secure in the knowledge that not only will your child go to college, but in fact, you can afford for your child to go to college. So I want to make sure that you can implement these ideas early in senior year. And in fact, this is me begging you and bribing you with cookies, all right? I'm begging you to get your college applications done this weekend if you're a senior. I'll bribe you with cookies if that's what it takes. I can't do this for you. And as I was saying to somebody earlier, just touching the hem of my garment is not going to get the college applications done. You have to do it yourself. But what I am going to do is get you started with this free webinar tonight. And if you feel like you need extra help, you can consider joining the Gold Care Club, and I'll be glad to send you the additional classes and resources and instructions for every little tiny piece that we're going to be talking about today. But even for my Gold Care members, I can't actually do it for you. I can only instruct and encourage you on your way. This is the class that I fondly called a gentle kick in the rear to help you get started on your way. Now, if you have a senior, applying to college right now is absolutely critically important. Every day that you delay can cost you money and scholarships. As I mentioned, I'm already hearing back from Gold Care members receiving scholarships. That is scholarship money that is no longer available to somebody else. And that's why you want to be applying early. So today I'm going to give you an overview on the whole process. I'm going to ply you with cookies. If I could give you real cookies, I would, but they're only virtual cookies. Now, I'm hoping that many of you have a freshman, sophomore, or junior, so you're going to be learning this information in a more relaxed way, get all the information in advance so you're not going to be surprised. But if you have a senior, I'm going to be explaining everything clearly, so you know exactly what to do for the rest of this busy college application season. Okay, so I've got you all covered. Nobody worry. We're just going to talk this all through. Okay, the first thing we want to talk about is the college application. Now, colleges need information about your student because they have to decide who is going to get in and who is going to get the money. And they make those decisions based on how well they know the student and how well the student was prepared for college. So you want to help the college get to know your student as they fill out the application. Your application then can solve the problem that colleges have. They think all of these kids from public and private school, they all look the same, right? They all took the same classes and have many of the same activities because that's all that the college or the high school offers. But when you're homeschooling, see, we can offer unique classes based on the delight-directed learning of our children. And we have an unlimited number of activities based on the interests of our children. And so our children come with a very unique college application. Now, here's the big picture. You need to know that the application process is a long process. It is not a short moment. It's not like you can decide, oh, I think I'll apply to college today. Let's just crank that bad boy out. You know, it doesn't work that way. It's quite a long process. So let's talk through that process. The first thing you need to do is to find a college to visit so that you know where you're going to apply. And you do that by finding a college fair. There are two websites that I'd like you to look up. One is the National College Fair. Now, if you can write this down on your note paper, that would be great. It's www.nacacnet.org. And then the National Christian College Fair is naccap.org. I encourage parents to take their children to all of these college fairs. I think it's a very cheap and easy way for you to meet as many colleges as possible, as quickly as possible. You'll also get information from colleges when you allow the tests to give colleges information. So when you take the PSAT or SAT or ACT, it'll say, would you like to give colleges information? And it's helpful if you click yes on those tests. And then you can do an online search. If you go to the collegeboard.org website, you can search online for colleges. But whatever you decide, make sure that you think about it together because the children will want to have preferences about where they want to go. But it's important that your kids know that you are actually the one paying for college, and so you have to agree together that a college is right for them. Now, after you've gone to a college fair, there's another step in finding a college, and that's where you compare college statistics. So you're doing some research on the information you can glean from colleges itself, and then there's also books and magazines that will rate colleges and give you statistics, and you want to be comparing the statistics. Now, there's a couple of books that I used, The Ultimate Guide to College by U.S. News & World Report, Profiles of American Colleges by Barron's, Four-Year Colleges by Peterson's. These all kind of are about the size of the old-fashioned yellow pages. That was just huge. You're not going to be reading those books from cover to cover. All you have to do is look at the statistics for the specific colleges that you're looking at. And you want to read every single word on the colleges that you're interested in because details will hide information about those colleges. So you want to know, for example, how many kids graduate in 4 years. That's an important thing because you don't want to pay for 5 years of college. So you want to choose a variety of colleges that you will apply to. And you should always have three kinds of colleges. One is the fit college, and that is that perfect match. The right test scores, same as your student. And then you want to have a reach college. That's where the student may qualify, but you're not too sure. By the way, Ivy League schools are always reach, no matter how smart or gifted your child is. And then you want to have safety schools where you're almost certain to be admitted. There's no guarantees in life, but you're almost certain. At that point, you have some idea about where you might be interested, and then you need to take your children to visit the colleges. You should visit early and often and evaluate them carefully. Junior year, it's really important to visit as many colleges as you can, but frankly, it's a great idea to visit colleges if you have a 9th or 10th grader as well. make an official appointment so that they know that you're coming, and then pay close attention to what happens. You want to meet with the admission officials, meet the department head. If your child wants to be an engineer or an artist, you kind of need to know what's that going to be like. Take a tour and look around, visit classes, eat in the cafeteria. Boy, that's a big deal. They're going to be eating there for 4 years. You kind of need to be able to eat. And then you want to take notes on everything, because you can use the notes that you use on your visit in your college application essays. All right. After you've found some colleges, then the next step generally happens during the summer before senior year, or right during the fall of senior year. And that's when you're applying. And again, applying for college is a long process. It has some long and confusing forms. There are detailed self-reflective essays that children have to write. Children don't always like writing those essays. Then there's multiple letters of recommendation. Again, you can't wiggle your nose and have those happen. That relies on somebody else, another adult helping you. They have inflexible deadlines. Think IRS inflexible. You cannot mess up with those deadlines. Now, the basics of a college admission essay is that I want the parents to help children brainstorm, because they may not understand what the colleges want. I remember my children had to write an essay on diversity, and they didn't believe that they could write on diversity because they were blonde white kids, right? And so I was able to, through our brainstorming, explain to them that no, in fact, anybody can write an essay on diversity. So you want to help them brainstorm. But it's important to remember that it's the child that writes the essay and not the parents. You want to include some of the specifics from your college visits, but you never want to repeat anything from one essay to the next. Now, big tip on essays is that you can reduce, reuse, and recycle essays, using them over and over again for scholarships, for different colleges, tweaking them for each specific college that you apply to. So they shouldn't have to write tons of essays. They just have to write some excellent essays. Now, you as the parent, though, are going to have to work on preparing your homeschool paperwork. And that's where having comprehensive homeschool records can help you. You want to have a transcript and a cover letter. It should probably have a table of contents, especially if it's more than a few pages long. And you want to have course descriptions. Make sure that your course description will have the same title as the class listing on the transcript, so they know which class you're describing there. Now, a course description would say what you used, what you did, and how you graded. All right, that's kind of the contents of a course description. But you also want to be preparing a reading list, an activity and awards list, and work samples. So you can see how this is a lot of paperwork to prepare. If you don't have that already, and you have a senior, now is the time to not do anything but order pizza for dinner for the next week until you get that done. But oh, please, I hope you're listening if you have a 9th, 10th, or 11th grader, so you can get this done without eating pizza every night for a month. Okay, so let's go over this one step at a time so that you can understand a little bit more about that paperwork. The first step is to make a transcript, because that's going to give you your course titles. You'll figure out how much each class credit value is. And the transcript, the purpose of that is to be a one-page overview. Now, this is the minimum requirement if you're going to send your child to college. 99.9% of colleges will require a transcript. And so you want to make sure that you have that on there. Again, it's a one-page overview. And then for your course descriptions, you would add details as that's appropriate. So let's talk for a moment about course descriptions. Okay. Here's when you think course description, I want you to think about this. It is a fifth grade writing assignment We've given our children fifth grade writing assignments. This is just one for us. It's not super scary. You can do it. You probably write better than a fifth grade level. And I know that you are capable of doing this. A course description should be one page or less for each class. I personally wrote one page for each class. Other people have been very successful with a quarter page or a third page for each class. But you do want to include certain details, like what you did. You could have one paragraph describing your homeschool class. And then what you used. That would be the textbook you used, the supplements that you added, additional books you used for fun, maybe field trips or activities or lessons outside the home or art classes or music teacher, that sort of thing. That's what you used. And then you'd list how you graded. Now, here's the big thing about that. Never give a grade on a transcript that is based solely on a test. There are no schools that do that. So when you consider your grading, make sure that you're not only listing tests, but instead use every way that you've evaluated. Now, a short way to explain how you graded is to say something like, one third of the grade was based on daily work, one third of the grade was based on tests, and one third of the grade was based on paper. But you could do it the long way and list every single assignment and every single grade that was given. And that will help you to draw it out a little bit more. And that's how I ended up getting a whole page for my course descriptions. And then you want to collect some work samples. There's lots of different work samples that colleges may ask for, but I think the most helpful is going to be writing samples. They care very much that students come to college with the ability to write, and giving them a sample of your child's work can help them know that your student will be successful at college. You want to be prepared with samples from each course just in case they ask you for something. So, for example, the colleges where we applied to, one of them wanted a math assignment in the student's handwriting. Another college wanted a lab report from science. Another college wanted a graded English paper. So I found it helpful as the homeschool mom when it was my turn to make sure that I had work samples from every class that they took. And then you want to compile a reading list. Now, the good news about the reading list is that it is not a reading bibliography. It's just a list. And so title and author is just fine. It can include the reading that they did for school. It can include reading that they do for work. It can include reading for pleasure. All of that information counts on the reading list. I will say that it's helpful if you put it in alphabetical order, because then you'll know, oops, accidentally listed Jane Austen's Sense and Sensibility 5 times because she read it 5 times. And that can eliminate that sort of problem. The next piece of information is the activities and awards list. You can collect the activities that they did over the 4 years of high school, but not the activities that they did early. Now, here's the deal with that. When you're doing their activities and awards list, you want to do the things that they did for 4 years first, and the things that they did that were either leadership or awards first. And then after that, you list the activities that were maybe for a shorter duration, they were less important to the child, and that's how you kind of prioritize which order they go in. They're not in chronological order, they're in order of importance. So let me give you an example of what that might look like. On the transcript, it would be very short, right? The student did choir in 9th, 10th, 11th, 12th, and they were a soloist in 11th and 12th. They did chess in 9th, 10th, 11th, and 12th, and they were the state champion in 11th and 12th. Okay, so those are examples of things that you would put first, and then the things that they did for just 1 year. Maybe they did theater at the Highline performing arts, 1 year. So you'd say Highline Performing Arts, ninth grade, and that would come second. It's okay for your child to have a class on the transcript that is also an activity. The way that I explain that is that when I was in high school, I was in choir, and I got choir on my transcript every year, and it was also listed on my transcript as an activity. There were many things that my friends did in high school that were both on their transcript and were listed as an activity. I'm sure on their transcript, but certainly in the yearbook, okay? The next big piece is the letter of recommendation. Now, the best recommender is a person who writes very well and knows your student very well. But they're not going to know all of the details about your student, and it is helpful if you give the recommender either your homeschool transcript or a resume or both. That's what they do in public school when the child needs the guidance counselor to write a recommendation. The guidance counselor only knows their transcript. They will pull up the transcript and, you know, make a letter of recommendation based on that. And most people will recommend that even in public school, the child comes with a resume and gives that to the guidance counselor so that they can write a better letter of recommendation. And that's what we want to do too. Quick warning, this is a very slow process. You have to ask the recommender, who has to have the time to write the recommendation, and then they have to get the recommendation to the college. Often that means putting in the mail, which, as you know, has a little bit of time involved, or uploading it to a website, which can be glitchy at times. I've heard horror stories about uploading letters of recommendation through the Common App, so it's not going to be super fast or super quick all the time. So give yourself plenty of time. Most people will recommend that you give yourself at least 2 weeks from the time you ask the recommender until you can expect that recommendation to be in. So you have to ask well in advance. You want to include a cover letter. That's your first introduction to your student. Usually, it's super short, and it may say something like, "This is my homeschool transcript for my son, Kevin," right? Other times, it might be a longer version that can explain unusual circumstances, like bad grades, why you started to homeschool in 11th grade, why there are 5 years of high school instead of four, why there are 3 years of high school instead of four. It can explain all sorts of difficult things. Now, you don't want to use the cover letter to say horrible things about your child. So you always want to tie it up in a beautiful bow, like you're wrapping a package, like it's the best thing that ever happened to your child. They got bad grades, but oh, thank goodness we found homeschooling. It solved everything, and now we're perfectly ready for college, something like that. And then you want to prepare the application essays. Now, if you have a teenager, I would love for you to call them to come in and listen to this part. I think it will really help them to understand what the application is all about, okay? Now, the application essay is a self-reflective personal essay. And that's what colleges use to know, who are you? What are you all about? It's personal and it's descriptive. That can be pretty scary, especially for people like my boys who didn't like to be either personal or descriptive. The essay needs to be technically perfect. That answers the college's questions about how well can you write. That's why you want to make sure that it is edited, spell checked, edited by your mom and dad, and then edited by another adult. It has to be technically perfect. It should always have the teenager's voice, not mom or dad's voice, but you want to make sure that it is technically perfect. And yes, it is okay for mom and dad to read the essay after you've written it, give their suggestions that you can choose to incorporate or not incorporate. Now, each college is going to have unique questions, right? A writing prompt that they give you for that essay. And this is going to answer their question, why should we admit you? They're asking questions about you so that they can know, are you a good fit? So you always want to make sure that you answer their question. And again, you can reduce, reuse, and recycle essays. There's a good chance many of the colleges are going to ask the same questions, so you want to be able to reuse those essays over and over for multiple colleges. So let's discuss some of these important aspects of essays again, because this is really important and I can make it so much easier for you. Now, there are 1 to 4 essays per college, but again, those college topics will often overlap. So if you can choose the topics you need to write about that are similar to all of the colleges that you apply to, then you'll actually be writing fewer essays. My children loved writing fewer essays. So even though we applied to 4 colleges and each college required 3 essays, I think my children only wrote a total of 5 essays altogether, not 12, just 5. So it is easy for you to do less work this way. Now, here's the most important thing. You never repeat anything from essay to essay that sounds familiar. You are not writing 3 essays about your love of coffee from 3 different perspectives. It doesn't matter whether you're writing about 3 different perspectives on your medical experience or your dance routines. You don't want to use the same topic twice for the same school. So, for example, a dancer may only use the word dance in 1 essay. My son was only allowed to use the word chess in 1 essay. My other son was only allowed to use the word economics in 1 essay. The other thing is, you don't want to repeat the information that's on the application. Do not mention your grades, your SAT scores. Don't rewrite your activity list and say all the things that you've been involved in. They already know that information. That's wasting your 400 words on information they already know about. So instead, you want to give them something new to think about. So how do you get something new? First of all, there's the pre-writing activity. You read the essay question together so that the teens actually understand what's going on and what the college is wanting. And then you brainstorm every possible topic for each essay prompt. This was pretty funny because no matter what the essay prompt was with my children, Kevin would always write about chess and Alex would always write about economics, and it didn't matter what the topic was, right? So you want to brainstorm every possible thing you could write about for each essay prompt. And then you circle the topic that you want to use for that essay and see if you can use that essay for multiple colleges. So try to use the same topics at different colleges. So read the parameters of the essay too. Read it pretty carefully, because sometimes we'll say, oh, 1,000, right? That 1,000. Well, was that 1,000 words or 1,000 characters? What is the, maybe they'll give you a page count, right? I know one time we applied for 1 college and we thought it was, I think it was 1,000 words, but no, it was 1,000 characters, and it ended up being like a 250 word essay. It was horrible. It was at the last minute. We had to totally mash our essays together. It was a terrible experience. So make sure you're looking closely at the parameters of the essay. So let's look at a couple of real college essay topics so that you can see, for example, what it might look like. All right. Hillsdale had a required essay that said very generally, tell us about yourself and your interests, indicate your strengths and weaknesses, describe your educational and career goals, the kind of person you wish to become, and how Hillsdale College can help you reach those goals. That's basically a personal statement essay, right? Once you've written that essay, you'll probably be able to use that at every single college, because most colleges will ask for that personal statement essay. And then Hillsdale said they wanted you to choose 1 of 4 topics for your other essay. What is good character and why is it important? What is the goal of liberal arts education? Or discuss how an event, novel, or experience has influenced your life, or respond to the Hillsdale mission statement, which, of course, you have to look up the Hillsdale mission statement, right? So you can see how some of these questions are pretty challenging. It's not like you could just crank it out in a half an hour or an hour. You really need to do some thinking about it. And you can really see how it'd be helpful to brainstorm with your mom and dad, because I will say probably few teenagers know what the liberal arts are. And also many teenagers may be so focused on what's going on right now, they may not realize that they had a huge life-changing experience just 1 year ago that they could write about when they're so involved in maybe speech and debate right now, and that's all they're thinking about right now. And that's why helping you brainstorm with your parent and child together can be really helpful. Patrick Henry is another college that many homeschoolers apply to, and they have two essays that are required. One was a faith essay, which just said something simple like, describe your Christian faith. Now, that's pretty helpful because most Christian colleges will want you to describe your Christian faith. Or if you're applying to a Christian college, you can use that descriptive essay as one of their optional essays. So that can often be reused over and over. And then they'll have a purpose essay, which says, describe what book, person, or event has influenced your life. Doesn't that sound familiar to the one we read at Hillsdale? So you can already see how these essay topics will overlap, and you can actually do less work by looking closely at those essays and just trying to choose topics that will apply to multiple colleges. Let's look at another school, Wheaton College. They call it the Christian Harvard. It's pretty hard to get into, but it is a Christian school. And they asked for one essay that is a personal story of faith in Christ. Now remember, we've already answered that for another college, right? And then it says you have to write a second essay, and it gives you a variety of topics to choose from. Have you ever had the experience of having a strong opinion and then changing your mind? What was that like? I've seen that question from multiple colleges, by the way. Or, given your desired major, what draws you to that area of study? That's very much like your personal statement, right? Why do you want to do what you're doing? Another one says, discuss a local, national, or international issue and why you're passionate about it. That's pretty interesting, isn't it? You could choose almost anything that's going on. And then another prompt is, here's a quote, describe it. It's a G.K. Chesterton quote who says, an inconvenience is only an adventure wrongly considered. An adventure is an inconvenience rightly considered. So describe an experience that you have had that illustrates this quote. I thought that was an interesting prompt. And then they have another one. Describe a time when you made a wholehearted commitment to something bigger than yourself. What challenges did you face and sacrifices that you made? So you can look at that essay topic and see, you know, that might be a little harder one for you to use for multiple colleges. But if you're driven to do that particular essay, chances are you'll be able to use that at other colleges as well, calling it your personal statement. So again, you want to look for similar prompts, especially that personal statement. It's very common between colleges. We saw that from both Hillsdale and it's on the Common App too. And then the faith statement, that's usually asked for from Christian colleges. So if one of them asks for a faith statement, you can use that for multiple ones. Another common prompt is to ask you about an event, book, person, or experience. And once you've written about one book, you don't have to keep choosing different books for every college. And that was required from Hillsdale, Patrick Henry, and the Common App. And then many times they'll ask for an issues statement. And we saw that from Wheaton, and it's also in the College App. Many colleges will have an issue statement as well. So with careful planning, you may only need to write four essays to four colleges. Even though, you know, there's a sum total of 12 essays you have to turn in, you may only need to be writing four with careful planning. So I want you to plan carefully. When you're thinking about your essays, I want you to write an essay that colleges love. And here's how. First, you write the essay. You've brainstormed already, right? You write the essay, and then you edit it, and you have your mom and your dad edit it, and then you rewrite the essay. Now, here's where it gets important. After you've done that, then you read the question again, because you want to be very, very careful that you actually answer the question. You know, we talked about they have inflexible deadlines. They also care that you're the kind of person that will answer the question that they ask. So read the question again and add the answer, if you need to your essay. Then here's something very important. I want you to go back one more time into your essay and add details that are unique to that college. It might be a professor that you met, an experience you had when you were on campus, or how much you love the dorm, something specific about that college. Now for these techie people, I want you to remember that you want to store each essay separately on your computer. You have a desktop folder that has all of your college applications for your child, and then you'll have a separate folder for each college application. It's really important to keep those separately, because what you don't want to do is have this perfect essay that's very unique to Hillsdale, and then you accidentally send it to Wheaton. Okay, that would be, what's the word? Really embarrassing. Okay, so don't do that. All right. Now, there's one big takeaway. When I teach on application essays, I say this over and over and over again. Never repeat anything. Each essay should not include anything from another essay. Don't repeat details from your transcript. You don't need to repeat anything. You want it to stand alone so they get to know you personally. Now, I know your teenager's probably sitting right there with you, but I want you to know a little something about senior year. Children become less compliant as they become more independent. We want them to be independent. We don't want them to become less compliant, but it kind of goes hand in hand as they're learning to be their own adult. That's kind of goes along with that. So sorry about that. They become less compliant, but also as they're seniors, they get busier as they get older. So if you have a junior, you're thinking it can't get any busier. Next time they're not going to do swim team. Well, it will get busier because again, they're adults and they're off doing their own thing. They're doing their own adult thing and they get busier and busier as they go along. So if you have younger children, I want you to pay close attention right now. I want you to plan ahead to have a very busy senior year and practice your college applications during junior year. You can practice your application forms. You can use the application essays as your writing prompts for your English class during junior year. You can start the application process on the very first day of senior year to give you as much time as possible due to their busy schedule. Now, here's one very important thing. If your child is doing dual enrollment, they're in the community college and they're a senior, it's extremely important that you start the college application process in the summer before senior year. I hear all the time from parents who are so busy with their seniors, busier still when they're doing dual enrollment, and sometimes that can be the only way to get it done quickly. Now, as a homeschooler, you have huge advantages with the high school applications that you're going through. You know your child. You love your child. You actually want what's best for them. You want them to succeed. You think about their future. You're financially motivated, right? Other advisors may say, oh, your child should go to Harvard and, you know, you could get him in, but how are you going to pay for that, right? You're financially motivated to make sure that they succeed in college, not that they get admitted, but they actually can afford to go and get out, right? So you're financially motivated. But here's the thing, your success comes with effort. It's not something that you can do just overnight. You really need to spend the time, spend the effort that you need to spend. Now, one big homeschool advantage, if you have a senior, is that you're not tied into the school system, right? You can put aside your educational plan for the rest of the month and work solely on your application, knowing that that's your English, right? This is part of your English credit. We're just going to cram in a whole bunch of English for the rest of the month so that we can get our applications done. And that is a huge advantage because in school, they continue to have their busy assignments, their homework, their AP classes or whatever. But you as a homeschooler can put aside academics to complete the application in a timely manner when you need to. Now, it is very important that you start early. I did get this letter from Michelle, whose son was admitted to West Point, and she had to start the process of application in April, to get him in. And they were successful, but she had to start early. Now, if your child is going to go to an Ivy League or a military academy, then starting in April of junior year is probably a really good idea. But for most seniors, look over the colleges you're going to apply to during the summer. Make sure you know when their deadlines are. I've heard that some colleges have a deadline in July and in August. You want to know that, right? So you want to find that out during junior year. And then for general speaking, if you start your college applications the very first day of senior year, you'll get it all turned in a timely way, and you too will be pleasantly surprised at college admission and scholarships. And frankly, you'll be in a better position because there's nothing more uncomfortable than knowing that your child has been admitted to college, but you don't have a clue how you're going to pay for it. And so applying early can help you know not only did they get in, but yes, we can afford it. And you'll find out that great information before Christmas. So you'll know how much to spend on Christmas presents. So that's extremely helpful. All right, I just want to do a quick check-in. I know I've been doing some heavy talking here, so I just wanted to know, has this content been helpful for you? Has the webinar been helpful? Oh, good, we're getting lots of yes and terrific, says Jill. Always helpful, says Isabelita. Very nice. Thank you. Okay, I just wanted to check in because I'm going to say, just briefly mention the Gold Care Club, because I do think that everybody needs a mentor, and imitating success is easier than doing it on your own. I'll help you to learn things quickly and easily. I have all of the tools you need all in one place, and I do work really hard to get it in every parental learning style. So there are five big benefits of the Gold Care Club. One is the personalized support, because I can talk to you one-on-one. Also, you'll get practical, down-to-earth answers. I don't know if you know this about me, but I try to make things sound easy rather than sound hard. And I'll give you timely training when you need it. I always have five classes going on the Gold Care Club every single month, and they change every month. And so they're always timely for October or November. I have specific classes that are playing all day long at that time so that you can just get the classes that you need. And it will save you a lot of time and money frustration as well as your sanity, because you know not everybody needs to be a pioneer. Now remember, if you join the Gold Care Club, you can stay and be a member for as long as you want. You're under no obligation to stay more than the first 30 days. Maybe you'll get all the questions answered that you need in a short amount of time. I have some members who stay for 1 month at a time, and then they have a busy season and they cancel, and then it's an easy season, and so they'll join again. But I think my longest member has stayed for 6 years. Pretty sure she has a bunch of kids, but you know, you can stay as short or as long as you need to. And the price for the Gold Care Club is $47 a month for as long as you need. Let me show you what it looks like really quickly. When you go into the Gold Care Club, I have lots of tools and training and templates. And these are the classes that I have going that are always there, and they change every month. They're arranged in order of difficulty. So I have the quick and easy classes at the top, and then they get more challenging as you go down. And then it also has tools and templates that are available all the time. The Gold Care Club includes members-only webinars. It has private consultations. That's how you get information on how to reach me. And it has an emergency transcript help section. So when you're desperate to get your transcript done, if you're a Gold Care member, that's where you click. It includes an ebook of the month. I usually list about between 10 and 20 scholarships that are appropriate for homeschoolers to be applying to. And then I have a resource pack of the month, so it'll rotate through maybe a gifted education pack or a struggling learners pack or an application pack. And so it changes each month. Each time you click on one of those links when you're in the Gold Care Club, it opens up below, so you don't have to leave the page. So if you were to click on beginner training, it would open up below that section. Now, the Gold Care Club does come with a guarantee, so if you decide that was a horrible idea, it's like returning it to the store, right? And you don't use any of it, and it's in pristine condition, and you can return it to the store, and we can give you the money back. It also has great bonuses. Bonus number one is making a transcript online training course. Bonus number two is a high school testing class. Bonus three is a grades and credit class. And bonus number four is a answer to your questions bundle. So I just have taken a bunch of answers that I've given members and put it all together in a bundle. Now I'm going to be mentioning a very important tool for my Gold Care Club members as part of this college application bonanza. So what I would really love for you to do is, if you're a Gold Care Club member, please email me to request the Bonanza course materials that are coming later in this weekend. This is a very special offer to help you get your college applications done as quickly and painlessly as possible. It combines webinar training, live question and answer, tools, and a very special offer. And I just really need parents to get these applications turned in on time. I've been getting a lot of questions about it. So I put together all of the resources in one email to send to everybody who's a Gold Care Club member or purchases today. And the email will look just like this, and you'll get that in your inbox if you purchase the Gold Care Club. It has lots of different things, so I want to show a few of the resources that you'll be getting if you purchase. The first one is to make sure that you log in and hit the Remember Me button so that as you work throughout all these classes, they will always work for you and you won't get logged out. Because if you get locked out, then you have to clear your cache, and that has scary words that I don't understand, and I usually make my husband do it. Okay? The other thing is you'll be given an invitation to register for a live question and answer, and that's on Monday. And I would love to have all of my Gold Care members join me for that live question and answer. Again, I'll prompt you. Do you have any questions about the essay now? Do you have any questions about the common application now? And we'll be able to talk through it very carefully. Now, when you receive this email, though, it's not like the other emails you get from me. This is only for you, only when you have paid for the Gold Care member. It's not for friends for free. The first class that is going to be included there is the class Real Fast Common College Applications. This is a previously recorded version of expanded from what I did tonight. If you've listened tonight, you probably don't need to take that class. I'd rather see you get your applications done. If you need help with your transcript, I included that emergency transcript class. You just take that class one step at a time, and it will help you get your transcript done quickly. The next class is the emergency course description class. So if you haven't yet put together your course descriptions, that's going to talk you through how to do that. I have an emergency method. If you just have 1 hour to get your course descriptions done, if you have a day to get it done, if you have a whole week to get your course descriptions done, I talk through all the different emergency situations that I've heard in my consulting and try to give you a solution as if we were talking about it together and alone. Then I have a detailed class on college applications. It goes into a lot more detail than I went tonight. When you're done with your applications, if you could take the senior year class, that'd be good. This is really for after your applications are done, because the applications are the most important thing, and the senior year class will talk through, you know, graduation parties and that sort of thing. And then I want you to take the college admission policies class. This is especially helpful as the parent to understand what they mean when they say they want an official transcript. It means that you write the word official on your transcript, okay? So that's especially helpful for parents. As their child is writing the application essays, that's a class you can be taking. You can track your application process with these two links. One of them will help you figure out which is the better value of college. That's the guide to comparing costs. When your whole application is turned in, then you can take the class called Beyond Academics, and that really will help you to prepare your child to live independently. It reminds you to teach them how to cook, wash their clothes, clean, that sort of thing. And then at the bottom of that email, you will see that there's a special Bonanza weekend special. And so if you needed more help with your comprehensive records, you could buy the comprehensive record solution and get the total transcript solution for free. And this is what that special sale says at the bottom of that email that you'll receive. It's a buy one, get one free. Again, you buy the comprehensive record solution, you get the total transcript solution for free, a huge bonus and a coupon for my book. So this is a separate offer from the college application bonanza, but the email will be for everybody who purchases the Gold Care Club tonight. You'll receive that email. Liz is going to be sending that to you tonight. So you want to decide to purchase before the end of this webinar so that Liz can send it to you, because believe it or not, we actually go home and go to bed when we're done with webinars. And so we won't be able to help you after the webinar ends. So please, if you could just make your order before the webinar ends, that's all I need you to do. Okay, so we are going to spend a moment getting your questions answered right now. So if you have some questions, now is the time to send those in. Boy, you know, I've got to say, Liz has probably done a great job making sure that people know when to send in their emails, because all of a sudden they're all showing up with questions. So thank you for that, Liz. That was great. Okay, as we're doing these questions, I'm going to roll through some of the slides so that you have something interesting to look at, okay? Faye says, my daughter is a senior, but she will not be going to college in the fall. She's going to wait 1 year and possibly apply for the fall after that. It's scrolling so fast, we're getting so many questions, it's hard for me to follow. Okay. Not sure how we should approach the college application process and scholarship application. So it sounds like maybe she's going to be taking a gap year. I do have an article on gap year. It's going to be part of the resources that I email out. Generally speaking, you'll get better financial aid if you apply for college as a high school senior early in your senior year, and then tell the colleges that you want to take a gap year, and often they'll let you take a gap year off. If you wait and you apply 1 year later, then sometimes you don't get the good scholarships, and they just kind of assume that you don't need it, right? And that would be a problem. The other thing is that it does take, generally speaking, when you're applying to college, you have to apply 1 whole year before you want to go. So if you're planning to have her start in fall of 2015, then that's why you have to be applying now. Faye had a follow-up question. Also, can the SAT be taken only when they're in high school? Yes, actually, anybody can take the SAT. It may be required later on, but again, it boils down to children not always being compliant, and so it will help you a lot if she takes that SAT or ACT while she's in high school, while the math is fresh in her mind, while you can encourage her to get it done, because 9 times out of 10, when you don't take it in high school, then it's much harder. Your scores are much lower, and it's much more difficult to talk them into taking it. So if you can have them take the test when they're a senior, then you as the parent have done your job, and whether they decide to go to college later on or not, they're ready to go, and you've prepared them for college to the best of your ability. Valerie says, if a college does not require an essay for admission, should we submit a personal essay anyway? I would encourage you to do that. And here's the way you think about it. What's going to happen if they don't want the essay and you've sent it in? They will simply delete, right? No harm, no foul, just delete. They're not going to, you know, take away demerits just because you sent them that information. But if they don't require it, chances are they'll read it anyway. And what you're trying to do, Valerie, is to talk the college into loving your child. And you're trying to convince the college that they are so wonderful in your mind, that your child will be there for all 4 years, graduate quickly in 4 years, and may even be so successful that they donate to the college later on, right? That's their ultimate goal, is to get people that are so successful they'll donate to the college for the long term. And so submitting that personal essay can convey things that an application otherwise can't. And it can explain how much do you want it, how worthy are of you are on scholarship money, and how likely are you to be successful at the end of 4 years of college? Are you likely to have graduated? Are you likely to be employed? And those essays can help them understand that. Laura's question is, I have a question about my son going to trade school diesel mechanics. It's an 18-month program. Where do you find the scholarships? It seems they're only for 4 years and other degrees, and I'm just wondering what to do. I'm lost and really confused. If you get my book, Big Scholarships, that will explain some of it. I also have another one called College Scholarships for High School Credit. It's not on sale this month, but it's just a regular $3 book, so it'd be a worthy investment. But basically, there are scholarships for numerous degrees and careers and goals. For diesel mechanics, probably the easiest thing I can tell you is to go to fastweb.com, spend an hour or two inputting all the personal information from your student, including the fact that he wants to go to trade school diesel mechanics, and they will weed out the scholarships for you and hopefully only show you scholarships that are for your specific child. I talk you through the process of how to use FastWeb in that book, College Scholarships for High School Credit. Amy said, can you talk a little bit about need-blind colleges or mostly need-blind? Okay, Amy, colleges are expensive, but here is the bigger picture that you need to know about. For people that apply early and have normal homeschool children, generally speaking, the cost of private university and public university are going to be almost exactly the same. All right. I know that's pretty shocking to people because, you know, the private school next to you may say it's $40,000 a year, and the public school that lives near your home may say that it's only $10,000 or $15,000 a year. But the truth is that the public schools don't have scholarship money to give away very much. And the private schools have lots of scholarship money to give away. And so they lure parents in cutting the cost with scholarships. And so generally what I've seen is the cost of private school and the cost of public school will be very close to similar. The other thing you need to know about financial need is that the requirements are higher than your income can be higher than you might expect. Sometimes need-based scholarships will come in even if you're making $150,000 a year. But not all scholarships are based on need. the first wave of scholarships that come in will be based on SAT or ACT or GPA, which has nothing to do with your financial need. And only the scholarships that come in based on the FAFSA are going to be need-based. So I don't think you need to worry about that as much. And I think the solution to that is mostly applying to a variety of colleges, making sure that you have, you're applying to between 4 and 8 colleges, that they're a mix of private and public schools, and that you have reach, fit, and safety schools. Evelyn said, I read recently that many colleges will no longer be requiring subject tests. Should homeschoolers continue to take them as validation? Good question, Evelyn. Actually, my next newsletter article is going to be about outside documentation and how there's lots of different kinds of outside documentation beyond subject tests, including some of the things we talked about today, like the letters of recommendation and the application essays and the activities and awards list. All of those provide outside documentation. I think that some colleges are no longer requiring subject tests, but that's not a huge trend that I've seen. Instead, what I'm seeing is colleges becoming more and more frustrated with the state of public education and public school kids who come with a great GPA, but are not well-educated. And so I do see quite a few colleges that are still requiring everybody to take subject tests in certain areas, just so that they know that the student is well-rounded. Some subject tests are often not required because of the SAT or ACT. For example, those tests measure reading and writing and math, and the ACT measures science as well. So you may not need a subject test in those areas. Sherry's question, what academic honors and awards can we as homeschoolers give or find? Well, if your child is doing academic subjects that are more than high school level, you can call that class an honors class if you want to. When your child is in dual enrollment, they may be given some academic awards from the dual enrollment program. You know, maybe they're on the dean's list or the honor roll or whatever at the community college. There are some honor societies based on GPA and SAT that homeschoolers can pay to be a part of. I don't think that that's helpful because even though they're based on the SAT or ACT, colleges are looking at your SAT and ACT anyway. So I just don't know that it gains you anything. Anyway, hopefully that will answer. If you're asking what sort of activities your child can be involved in, I do have an article on activities. And Dorcas has a question, what samples do you include if the child took a course through an online virtual school? If that school is a school that provides a transcript for you, that class is on a transcript, then you may not need to have a work sample because the transcript will be sent directly from the virtual school to the college where you are applying. If that's not the case, then usually you can print out something, print out a test or something like that, that you can save in your records. But just remember that if you can't save something, it's easy to recreate what you need should the time come. I personally wanted to save everything from all of my classes so I could create detailed grading criteria. Grading criteria for each of my classes. But I know other people that don't care to do that. And so for them, they will just have, I've lost my question. They will just have a shorter amount of information on that. So, all right, let me see. I've lost my question. Okay, there you go. Pia said, can you comment about gap year? Yeah, so gap year, generally speaking, means that your child is doing something important and significant during their year after senior year. Many colleges love students that take a gap year because that means the child will be 1 year more mature when they go to college and is less likely to party and cause problems on campus. So many colleges like that, especially the Harvards and Yales of the world. They see a lot of burned out kids that have taken way too many AP classes and hate learning, right? And so they kind of like the kids to take a gap year. One important thing about gap year is you want to make sure that you do not take any community college classes or college classes of any kind during your gap year. Even a one-credit PE class can change your child's status from being a freshman admission to a transfer admission. And it seems crazy to think that one credit of PE means that they're a transfer student instead of a college freshman. That's how it rolls. The other thing about gap year is that it's helpful if you can talk to the colleges in advance about your plan, especially if the child talks to the colleges about the plan, saying something like, I would like to take a gap year after my senior year. My plan is to, and then say what the plan is, go to Africa and serve as a medical missionary, whatever. And then ask them what are their rules and requirements about gap year. Each college will have their own policy. Generally speaking, not always, but generally speaking, they want you to apply when you are a high school senior, apply as a college freshman, and they will give you admission, they will give you scholarships, and then they give you permission to take a one-year gap year, and they'll save your spot and your scholarship money until your gap year is over, and then you can start. So generally speaking, that's how it goes, but not all the time. Lori's question, what if a template or questionnaire type form is not provided by the university for getting letters of recommendation to the individuals that you plan to ask? Okay. It's hard for me to understand the question exactly, but I do have a sample letter of recommendation that you can, instructional information on how you can give that to the person that's going to be the recommender so they know, well, how do you write a letter of recommendation? Because not everybody writes them all the time. Even my husband, who works in business, he doesn't write letters of recommendation every day, so he would have liked that information too. And then if they don't give you information on how to turn it in, then you would have it mailed directly from the recommender to the college. You are not the intermediary. You don't see the recommendation. That's why you want to make sure that they're a good recommender first. And you will usually provide a stamped, addressed envelope. And, you know, the address says to the college and it's got a stamp on it and everything. And then you ask them and you give them that letter of recommendation envelope. You want to follow up with the college, make sure that they've received the letter of recommendation in a timely fashion. Once they have received that recommendation, then the child needs to write a thank you note to the recommender. Stephanie said, how do you handle unit studies in high school, and is it a record-keeping nightmare? Well, it can be. I was talking with somebody who was using the ATI curriculum, and that has little teeny, teeny, tiny units that goes for the 4 years of school, and boy, does she have a struggle. The most helpful thing I can tell you, Stephanie, is to make sure that you start your record-keeping early and complete your course descriptions every single year. This mom was having a nightmare to go back through 4 years of material trying to, you know, well, this short piece goes here and this short piece goes here and what groups does it go to? And it really was a nightmare for her. But you can solve that nightmare by making your course descriptions every single year without fail. And that will help you to get it done. And it, once you recognize that you need to do it every year, then any kind of curriculum that you want is great. As long as your child is learning and thriving, any curriculum that you want is great. Try to think of each piece of it as like a unit study. You remember when, well, maybe you don't remember, but when I was in school and we did PE, we would have like a unit on gymnastics and a unit on soccer and a, I don't know, unit on first aid, right? And that's how you think about curriculum like that, that's sort of a hodgepodge, that maybe your history class has five different units from five different curriculum pieces, and you group it all together into one course description. Anne has a question. What is the earliest that you can apply for scholarships? I have a sophomore. There are some scholarships that are available for kids, even in middle school. There are quite a few that are available to sophomores. Most are available for juniors and seniors. So if you have a sophomore, now is a good time for you to start looking at private scholarships. But just remember, Anne, that most of the money that you need for college is going to come directly from the college itself through applying early, having good homeschool records, making sure you have great essays. Those are the things that are going to get you the full tuition scholarships. And the private scholarships usually are much smaller amounts. So for example, my own kids, we applied to tons of scholarships, private scholarships, and we spent our entire junior year, that was our writing program, was applying for scholarships. And they won quite a few, but each one of them only earned about $2,000, $2,500, which at the time was super awesome. But when you put $2,000 compared to the cost of college, it was like a drop in the bucket. So yes, you can find scholarships for a sophomore, but the big money is going to come from how you study for the SAT, gearing up for college admission. And actually that's the reason why I wrote that book, Getting the Big Scholarships. That's the one that's going to help you the most. Jill said, I have two sons that will be applying for engineering school. Do they ask for admission essays too? Well, a couple of things. Many schools are so desperate for engineering students that I have seen many of them waive the requirement for certain degrees. And we'll say, we really need your child. We're going to waive the essay. Other colleges will waive the application essay if you go to visit them. But let's speak for a moment about engineers, shall we? I have raised an engineer. He is my most beloved elder son. He is actually working to get his PhD in engineering now. And so I know a little bit about engineers and what colleges think about engineers. One of the things they think is that engineers don't write well. That tends to be true. They tend to not write well at all. And so one of the things that you can do to make your child a more desirable candidate is to show that not only are they qualified for the engineering program, but as a benefit, a side benefit, they also write well. So I would encourage you to write an essay for engineering school, even if they will waive the essay for your children. One of the differences, how do I explain this? There's a difference between getting into college and getting employment. And engineers are more likely to be hired when they've already had an internship with a company because they've already gotten good grades in all of their classes, because their college GPA was really high, which means that in their college English class they got an A, which means you need to make sure that they can write well when they're in high school, even though engineers tend to be not wired that way in order to write as well. Laura's question is, I was wondering if you'd go ahead and submit all the application and then send in all the details, or how does that work? And yeah, that's a great idea. So let's get real about one thing. We tend to think as homeschoolers, we forget that there's a difference between the school and the student. Right? But in a public school, they're completely different. And so the way that it normally works is the student will complete their application and hit submit, right? That's the date they completed, was the day they hit the submit button, or the day that it arrives at the college. That's the date of their college application. But the school might not turn it in at the same time. It still has to be in on the deadline. So if they have a November 15th deadline or a November 1st deadline, the school still needs to submit it on time, but it does not have to come in on the same day as the student's portion of the application. Now, if you have a senior, I want you to listen carefully to this, because this is something I often will recommend to my Gold Care members. If you have a senior, encourage your child to get all the way through their whole portion as quickly as they can and hit the submit button or mail their portion in. That means their application and their essays, their letter of recommendations have been requested. Okay. And the reason why they have to turn it in as early as possible is because that is usually the date that colleges use when they're deciding who gets the scholarship money and, frankly, who gets to register for their living situation first. Okay. So the child that submits their application on November 1st might get a better room in the dorms than a college who submits their application on November 15th. Or a child who submits their application early might get first choice at the college classes that they register in, which means that if you delay and you don't turn it in until later, your child might not get the math or the English class that they need in order to move forward quickly and graduate on time. So there's a lot of intrinsic things to turning it in besides admission and scholarships. There's other pieces of the puzzle that come into play. So I encourage you to have your child turn in the application as soon as possible. If you have a senior, in fact, let me get really real here for a second. I've told this story to my Gold Care members all week for 2 or 3 weeks now, okay? Most colleges will have an application deadline of November 1st or November 15th or somewhere around in there. That's why I had this free class right now, because I really need people to turn it in so that they can be successful. I want you to turn it in by November 1st, all right? That's what I really, really, really want. It's critical, in my opinion, to turn it in before Thanksgiving. And here's why. Almost everybody that's a senior works on their college applications during Thanksgiving break. And right after Thanksgiving, they get hundreds, sometimes thousands of applications every day, and yours will get lost in a sea of applications. And the people reading the applications get more and more frustrated and more overworked, and they like you less and less because, darn it, it's just one more essay I have to read and I'm tired of it. So turning it in by November 1st is best. Yes, I realize that's just a few days. That is why we're doing this today. Turning it in by the due date is critical. No matter when the due date is, turning it in before Thanksgiving can make the difference between some scholarships and no scholarships. And now I'm going to tell you the truth. All right. My college required everything to be turned in by November 15th. My goal was November 1, and I didn't make it. I turned in my scholarship, our scholarship applications on, I believe it was November 4th or 5th, and we were still given good scholarships. So I want you to turn it in as early as possible. I worked extra hard all day long today just to encourage you to get this done. And I really didn't have time to put this class together, but I did because I was getting so many questions, and I really, really want you to do it. But at the same time, just have the student turn in their information as soon as possible, well before the deadline, at least 2 weeks before the deadline, hopefully a month before the deadline. And you as the school can turn in your application pieces before the deadline, but it does not have to be at the same time. Okay, Isabelita has a question about online courses. She uses Landry Academy. How do you give credit for online courses like Landry Academy? When they're taking a class, then you just give them credit as if it were a homeschool class that you were teaching at home. So if they've used a textbook, you'll know that it's a whole credit. Or if you're counting hours, then you will know that it's a whole credit. If you have questions about your transcript or how to give credit for something, that is included in the Making a Transcript class. That's a portion of the package tonight. Cindy's question, how do I combine public school, homeschool, and community college transcript in one? Okay, good question. A little complicated, so everybody pay close attention. This is going to be really helpful for a lot of people that take classes anywhere, okay? Whether your child is in public school or community college or even a university somewhere, if that is your situation, try to develop an acronym for that school. So for us, we went to Highline Community College. We used the acronym HCC. For each class they took at that school, I put the acronym first, HCC. And then you put the title of the class exactly how it is at that school. So because it was a college class, it was like Art 101: Survey of Fine Art. Right? So that's exactly how it looked on my transcript. You can do that with all of your classes. It's especially important when it's a class where the transcript is going to be sent from the school to the university. So the public school will send a transcript with those classes to the university. You have to ask them. Sometimes there's a fee. The community college, they'll have to send the transcript from the community college to the university where you're applying. One tip to remember is usually the transcript must not come with you as an intermediary. You send the homeschool transcript, which is the sum total of all of these outside classes and the homeschool classes and everything. The school where they took that one class will also have to send it, and it has to go directly from the school to the university, not come to your house first and have you ship it up. Okay? Okay, Anne says, if you grade everything like the one-third, one-third, one-third way you explained, can you explain that on the transcript page rather than restating it on every course description? Transcript page, I got another question I need to answer in just a second. Okay. The transcript needs to be one page long. And so it would be too long, much longer than one page, if you explained that grading criteria for every single class, because like English might be one third papers and science might be one third labs. And so it would get too long. And that's why it's a little easier if you have a course description and then a brief statement of how you graded below each course description. Okay. Melissa had a question. If your senior is going to community college and you register for colleges the summer before they are a senior, the registration to that university is still accurate by the time your child gets to the university as a junior. I'm not sure I totally understand that question. Let me read it again. If your senior is going to community college and you register for the college the summer before they are senior, the registration to that university is still accurate by the time you gets to the university as a junior. Okay. So if you are in a complicated situation like that, if you could develop an acronym for the classes that they're taking, that will explain which classes they took at the community college. And when you are applying as a senior, one of the things you'll realize is that you've got like these six classes that they're currently taking right now, and we're applying right now. So now what do we do, right? You want to include on your high school transcript the classes that they are currently taking. And you write down the title as usual. You write down the credit value as usual. But instead of having them give a grade of A or B or 4.0, instead of that, you put in IP in place of the grade. And IP stands for in progress. At the bottom of the transcript, you want to explain what IP means. IP indicates classes in progress. Okay, I just wanted to make a brief mention that people can expect an email later tonight if they have purchased the Gold Care Club. Liz will be up later explaining, getting all of those people who have purchased and sending off that email to you. And so if you can complete your purchases now, then she'll be able to get that email off to you. We are already getting a bunch of emails saying, I didn't get the email, but it won't come until much later tonight because it takes her a while to get that all together. So everybody, please be patient. Could you please reiterate again why people who want to go to an Ivy League college need to apply early? Okay. Ivy League universities have very specific application requirements, so I want you to read very, very carefully exactly what they want from you. Follow the letter of the law with everything that they need. But some of them will have very early deadlines, and so you need to apply very early to that. I don't think that it's necessary to apply to them any earlier than you normally would, but you want to make sure that you get it done. The other thing is that the kids who are liable to go to Ivy League schools will often have very, very busy lives in order to qualify for an Ivy League school. And so working on it over the summer is especially helpful for those children because they tend to be very busy with their activities and their honors classes and all the other things that they're doing, making it almost impossible for them to get their application done during the fall of senior year. Jody said, my son did not do well on his SATs. Will this info help him to get into college in spite of his scores? Yes, absolutely. Because SAT scores are only one piece of the puzzle, one way of getting outside documentation. Most of the things that we've been talking about today are other ways to get outside documentation, like the letters of recommendation and the application essays and the course descriptions that you've made, etc. My advice on people who don't do well on SATs is varied, and it kind of depends on your situation and the age of your child. I was dealing with one Gold Care member with this a couple of weeks ago, and I suggested that they give her child a sample of the ACT test to see if their child would score better on the ACT, because some kids just do better on one test than the other, and colleges don't care. Either one works for them. So that's one option, is to see if he will score better on the ACT test. And if he does, like her child did, Then you study for the ACT test and take it in December as a senior, and you'll still be able to get the information to colleges in a timely fashion so that you can get scholarships. Okay, Jennifer's question. My daughter would like to use the topic of importance of her church in her life in her common application essay. Is this potentially a problem for application to secular colleges? Ooh, good question. I struggled with that as well, and I can tell you how I ultimately decided, okay? secular colleges are looking for diversity. Secular colleges are filled with very liberal non-school kids from liberal un-Christian high schools, right? Your child will represent diversity to them. And so in that way, having her mention her faith is not a bad thing. They are going to be looking for her to be not politically correct, but demonstrating love and appreciation for her fellow man, right? So they're going to want her to explain her faith in a way that doesn't exclude other people. But I don't see a problem with that at all. That was actually why on my high school transcript, I decided to list my Bible classes every year, and I didn't put them in the electives category. I had its own category, Bible classes. Here's my four Bible classes. Because I wanted to convey somehow that Bible was as important to me as math. And I knew that the secular colleges that we applied to probably wouldn't, I don't know, calculate their Bible classes in terms of their GPA, but I also thought that it would bring some diversity to the college that they might be looking for. And yep, we were admitted and given scholarships, so I think it worked for me. Lisa said, what do you do if you're not considered a college freshman because you have too many dual credit hours from community college? Okay, so this is a very important piece of information, and I need you to listen closely because this is a little bit complicated. When you're filling out the college application, it can be very hard to decide, are we filling this out because our child's going to be a college freshman, or because our child's going to be a transfer student, or are they a junior? Almost every single time, if your child is doing dual enrollment, you are applying as going into a college freshman. And that's because for most colleges, they treat dual enrollment in two ways. You know, dual enrollment means education in two ways, high school and college at the same time. And dual enrollment can mean college admission in two ways too. And so you're applying as a college freshman in terms of your application and the scholarships and your housing. But they know that you're coming to college as a college junior, and so you'll be allowed to take the junior year classes, and you'll be required to declare your major because you're a junior. But not all colleges say that just because you have dual enrollment, that does not mean that you're no longer applying as a college freshman. So usually what I recommend is you read the college's website carefully to find out what their policy is. However, usually, not always, usually when you are a homeschooler and you have dual enrollment classes, you're applying as a college freshman and you can get the freshman scholarships and everything. And still, when she starts college, they will be a college junior with the college freshman scholarships. Now, I realize that that is a very complicated concept. But they give you this option. You know, it's like the first thing they ask, are you applying as a college freshman or are you applying as a transfer student? And you kind of want to make that decision right the first way. And so if you can just make sure that you're confident in what I'm saying, you can ask me clarifying questions if you're a Gold Care member. You can speak to your admission representative and say, my child is doing dual enrollment. Can we apply as a college freshman? And usually they will say yes. Lori's question is, how do I help my son navigate through deciding on a major? It seems to be a mindset among this generation that says, I'll figure it out when I get to college. boy, did I struggle with that, you know, and ironically, the very moment Kevin decided that he was going to be an engineer, from that moment on, he's been nothing but an engineer in his mind. And now he's getting his PhD and loves it and loves his job and everything. But boy, when I remember sitting down at the dining table, Matt, you can chime in too if you remember, but it was like he couldn't decide. It was like he thought he was making a decision to marry his college major. You know, this is not a lifetime decision. This is for now. You can change your mind in 3 months if you want to. But I will say that it's usually most helpful to choose the hardest college major first, because if they do change their mind in 3 months or 6 months, it's easier to go from a hard college major into an easy college major. So if your child has, oh, maybe I want to be an engineer, but maybe I want to be an English major, right? Start with engineering, because they'll be taking all these hard math and science classes, and then they'll figure it out. No, actually, I hate engineering. And then they'll be able to take all those classes, and it becomes part of their English degree, and it doesn't slow them down at all. But on the other hand, if your child starts out, well, I can't decide, so I'm going to start with my English degree. And the first year they spend classes on novel writing and math for dummies and, marine biology for non-science majors. If they change their mind and want to go into engineering, almost nothing that they've taken that first year will apply. And so if you can't decide, start with the hard degree first. That's my advice. Stephanie's question, do colleges post their essay prompts anywhere other than on the application? I think that they are getting harder and harder for people to find. Matt, I'm getting some strange feedback in here. Can you give me a hand for a second? Hang on just a second. Hang on, we're just getting a little bit of background noise, just a second.
Excuse me.
Mm-hmm. Don't. Okay, I think, let go.
I'm going to just turn that down.
Yeah.
Ask them if they hear ding.
Sorry about that, I totally can't figure out what's making that background noise. So we will just keep on going. So essay prompts, it's on the website. Sometimes when you go to a college fair, they'll give you the essay topics, and that's a really good reason to take your 10th and 11th grader to a college fair, so that you can collect a variety of application essay topics and practice. I will know one parent, a good friend of mine, who practiced application essays when their child was a junior, and when this beautiful young child suddenly developed all sorts of attitude, they were able to just dust off the application essay that they wrote during sophomore year and use that for her application to college, and she got great scholarships, which she could not have gotten had they not practiced in advance. Okay, Beth's question is, what if your student chooses a major that doesn't seem to be able to make a good living with their chosen major? One thing to remember is that if your child works hard and goes to a college that has a good employment rate, that's in those statistics that we talked about earlier, then they're more likely to get a good paying job regardless of what their degree is, as long as they have a four-year degree. There are just colleges, employers out there that prefer to have applicants that have a four-year degree regardless of what the degree is in. So here's what you want to do, Beth. You want to choose a college that has a very high employment rate. When you do your research on the colleges, ask that specific question. You will be quite shocked. Some colleges may have a 50% employment rate. Others will have a 70%, and others will have a 90% employment rate. When you're visiting colleges, you want to find out which colleges have are able to place students in, oh, Matt, help me out. What's the word? You know, what? They're placing the students in a job when they're still in college. What's that called? An internship, right. So if the child has internships while they're in college, then they're much, much, much more likely to get a good job when they come out. And that depends on the university. And that's actually why some universities have a better employment rate afterwards. The university that my children go to, I'll put in a little plug, Seattle Pacific University, has a very high employment rate, but that's because they have a very high rate of internships, and they require every student to have an internship before they graduate, and that's how they maintain their employment rate. Darlene says, should you take both the SAT and the ACT? No, I recommend that you have your child take a sample of each one at home, see which one makes your child look smarter, and then you study for and take the test that makes them look smarter. Some colleges will prefer one test over the other, but usually they will accept both. Okay, so it looks like we're slowing down here on the questions. Sherry said, do you put the transcript in a separate envelope? You can. What I did was I had my transcript was a loose page paper on top of my course descriptions, which were spiral bound. My course descriptions ended up being like, I don't know, 40 pages or something. And then the one page transcript was on top. And then I put all of that together in an envelope. One college, though, actually required us to put the transcript into an envelope, seal the envelope, and then sign our signature along the seal so that they could make sure that it wasn't altered by the student. I actually thought that was hilarious. Here I am, a homeschool student, and that's what they cared about. So, anyway, it depends on their application process. Rose said, who writes the cover letter, me or my child? The adult writes the cover letter. The child writes the application essay. Okay, so I've got lots of questions that have been already answered. So if I missed your question, I apologize. I'm trying to kind of skim those quickly so that we can finish up really quick. Jill says, my student is in his junior year. He will take the ACT in the spring of junior year. By the way, everybody, that is when I recommend that you take it. So Jill is right on. A plus for Jill. She says, I would like to know if he needs to take the ACT twice. Should he do it twice in his junior year or once in his junior year and once in his senior year? Okay, Jill, so here's how it goes. You want to have everything ready for your college applications, ready by the time they're done with their junior year. So any like subject tests, the SAT or ACT, all their classes are all in place. So everything's ready to go so that when you start senior year, you can just ship it to the college where you're applying. So if you waited until senior year, some of those scores wouldn't be ready. For that reason, I recommend that you take the test first in, say, March of junior year. That'll give you plenty of time to look at the score, decide if you need a higher score, take it again in June, and have time to study before you take it again in June. Then the second time they take that test, in June of junior year, you'll get the results back. You'll have everything that you need in time to start the application process as a senior, with knowing what your scores are, knowing exactly how that college admission package is going to work out. Tara said, I just started homeschooling in 11th grade. Can I just use my homeschool transcript, or will I have to use the high school grades from 9 and 10 also? It kind of depends on the situation, Tara. If you have, usually, generally speaking, it's helpful to consider your homeschool transcript as the sum total of every academic experience your child has had. And so you would put the high school classes on your homeschool transcript to show that, you know, 9th and 10th grade, they did this, and 11th and 12th grade, they did this, and my transcript has it all so that you can see. Basically, it's as if your child had moved to a different school district, right? And the new school that you moved into that district, that new school would have a cumulative of all of the education from previous schools, right? But that's not an absolute requirement by law. So if your child has all failing classes and you just don't want to say we have all failing classes, you have the option of not putting that on your homeschool transcript. However, the public school transcript will have to be sent to the university. So they are going to know that information anyway. So it kind of depends on the situation. I've advised people to go different directions based on what they needed. Jean says, do you recommend that we enter colleges to send the scores to when taking the SAT or ACT, or wait until we have the results so that we know what the student needs to know more of in one part, like writing? Okay, Jean, let's talk about the bigger picture here. If you're homeschooling, I want you to give a sample test at home. And as you're studying for the SAT or ACT, maybe once a week or once a month, you give them a full-length sample test at home. You will know approximately what their scores are going to be. And if you're pretty happy with their scores, then it's cheaper to have those scores sent directly to colleges without looking at them first. If you feel unsure about their scores, or there's a possibility they could do poorly, in that situation, then you would not send the scores directly for colleges, but you would hold those scores until you see them, and it would be worth the extra money that it costs to send that to the colleges later on, after you know how well your child is going to score on it. So again, kind of depends on the situation, and I've advised people a couple of different ways depending on their situation. Chris said, are college applications similar in Canada? Any success stories from your clients applying to Canadian colleges? I have had some success stories, but I have not been dealing directly with the colleges the Gold Care member has, but I have heard successful applications in Canada, both from clients going to U.S. schools and also going into Canadian schools. But I don't know enough about the Canadian system to explain to you what the differences are or what to look out for. I am U.S. based, and I have a lot of military and missionary families that are applying to colleges in the U.S. and overseas clients that are applying to colleges in the U.S. And people have told me from Canada and even Australia that it works out great for their system, but I don't know enough about their system to be able to speak directly about that. Lori said, we have a 10th grader and we went to a college fair. How important is it to fill out all of those little postcards to get more information? Would you just do the colleges that you're most interested in? Does this get the student's name out there to many other colleges? Okay, good question. The problem with homeschooling is that we're a little bit off the grid. You know, for many of us, we don't have to register anywhere, and colleges do not know that we exist. And so we have to tell them we exist. And one way is to, you know, click that little box saying, you know, give the colleges information when you take the SAT, ACT, or PSAT. Another way to tell colleges that you exist is by filling out that little card on the college fair. Now, if you really hate the college, I wouldn't fill out the card because that's just a waste of junk mail, right? But if you have moderate feelings, then I would have them fill out that information. One thing that it can help is to encourage them to see how valuable they are. Some kids, when they're homeschooled, some kids tend to discount their own education, like, oh, I probably can't get into this college or that college because I'm homeschooled. And it can be very affirming for young people to see this, you know, tsunami of college material that comes at them. They've been waiting and waiting and waiting for your student, and they're so thrilled. The other thing is, colleges know that homeschoolers tend to be very well educated. And often homeschoolers know that we have better test scores than public school. But what colleges know is that we also tend to be better educated. It's not just the test scores. It's just that we're ready to learn, right? And they love homeschoolers. So once they know about you, you can expect quite a bit of marketing coming your way. Okay. I am starting to lose my voice, so I need to quit now. And I just wanted to say thank you for everybody for coming. I really appreciated the time that we've spent together. If you need more information, please consider joining the Goal Care Club. I would be happy to help you. Just remember that whether you join the Goal Care Club or not, I am begging and pleading with you. If you have a senior, I want you to spend this entire rest of the week, the entire weekend, turning in your application, getting all of the application pieces to get it together, getting all of your homeschool record keeping together. Turn it all in by November 1st. If you miss it by a couple of days, like I did, that's okay. But do not miss the deadline that the college has set for you. Those deadlines are inflexible. They will not give you scholarships if you are late. So make sure that you turn it in on time. Earlier is better. I want you to emotionally gear yourself up to get everything submitted by November 1st. Okay? Now, so I'm begging, please, 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 please get it done. And remember that touching the hem of my garment does not help. Just being a member of the Goal Care Club is not going to get your application done. You have to actually do the job. Now, this is such an important activity for the future of your children that I am extending this special offer through midnight on Saturday. If you purchase the Goal Care Club right now, Liz will be sending out that email probably by 10 o'clock Pacific time, so it will be available to you when you wake up in the morning. But we are extending the sale through midnight on Saturday, and so any purchase of the Goal Care Club that comes in by midnight Saturday will get that email with the College Application Bonanza bonus. Any purchase of the Comprehensive Record Solution by midnight on Saturday will get that buy one, get one free bonus offer that I described earlier. You won't get the information, the resource email won't come until later because we're not going to be able to send it off constantly during the weekend, but we will send it to you on Monday, which is why I want you to make your purchase tonight if you're thinking about it. Okay, so this is an important activity. Please get the information applications done. The sale is extended through Saturday at midnight. If you need more information, you can look at my blog. I put the sale on my blog. But remember, if you decide to purchase the Goal Care Club, if you do that right now, then you'll get the email tonight and it will be available to you in the morning. Okay. So thank you for being here. At the end of this webinar, there will be a survey. And I would love for you to fill out that survey and let me know how I did on this presentation. This is the first time I've given this presentation as a free class. So if you could please let me know how I did on the survey, that would be great. And one final thing for my Gold Care members, if you could please send an email to request the Bonanza information, Liz will add you to that list. And you will get the information. So thank you for coming tonight. As usual, when you come and you stay live to the very end, I do have a gift for those people that are here to the end. I have a free ebook on PDF. It's called Finding a College You Love. This would be great if you have a sophomore or junior. And so what I want you to do is just type in the website, budurl.com/findcollegebook. It's a free book for everyone. It's on PDF. You don't even need a Kindle. Okay. The other freebie that I have, it's not free. I'm sorry. It's a coffee break book for 99 cents. And it is the one that I was talking about earlier. It's called Getting the Big Scholarships. And it's 99 cents today. So to get that book, you go to budurl.com/bigscholarshipsbook. And that information will be available to you. That book will be 99 cents, I believe, through the weekend. And so you can get that information. That will help you figure out. Somebody was asking a question about having a score of 2100 on the SAT and how does that correlate to cash. And I didn't get a chance to answer that question, but this book answers that question. And so those are the two good deals that I had to say. Thank you for staying to the end. Great questions, everyone. And remember, if you did purchase and you get the college application Bonanza materials, make sure that you sign up for the live Q&A. It will be a webinar like this, and you and I will be able to talk one-on-one and get all of your questions answered. So thank you again for coming, and I really appreciate your time today. Have a great day.